You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to DM to GM. This is the podcast where we answer your questions and help you feel more comfortable playing games around your table.
I'm your GM, Sean Howard, from The End of Time and Other Bothers.
And I'm your DM from Dungeons & Dragons, Russ Moore.
And today we have a question from our Discord from Lox and Beard. And it's a good one. It's one I love to rant about, which is why I wanted to do it. So the question is, when do you let your players left turn, change your story, like just take a left turn to Albuquerque, if anyone gets that reference. Mm-hmm. I'm an old man.
No, it's Bugs Bunny. You're good.
And so if they get so into an idea that isn't part of your story, but they're so into it, you want to give them a win, but it's not a plot point, and they're struggling. I think they're struggling with how to... what happens when it breaks the world is sort of, if I sum up this, I hope I'm summing this up correctly, Lox and Beard. And then to summarize, when do you give them the win at the cost of a story plot point? And when do you just say, man, all that work was pointless because there wasn't anything there. You guys just went on a wild goose chase.
This is every game I sit down to sometimes. I guess the question comes down to is how locked is your information? Where the information you're trying to get, give them, and then they're on the path, and then they see the sexy goblin off into the right, and they go,
oh, gotta follow the
gotta
sexy
follow
goblin.
There's always something there. They get to the end of that trail. Oops, nothing. What happened on the thing that they didn't do? Because something continued to happen. They were following a bad person. They were, you know, researching some event that was happening. That still continues to progress in the background, which escalates that situation. So they can go have their fun little adventure, which you can then help build out and have a session or two where they're doing this fun chase the sexy goblin around the field, which is an interesting sentence to say out loud. But then all of the things you had planned continue to progress, put them on a clock and say, okay, well, this event now happened and this person went missing and this happened. And when they get back to town after having this little escapade, they now have a bigger problem to deal with. That's one thing that I do.
1000% love that. And don't tell them. Just have fun with it. Like, if they want to do, if you've got, you're like, all right, let's just do this. This is, they want to do this. They want to, you know, go to that next town and buy this crossbow designed and shaped like a, I don't know, accordion that plays music, whatever it is, let them go and do it and then have fun with it. Let them then be like, oh, well, this, the maker won't make it unless they do help him get his, you know, daughter's lost charm back that was stolen, and then that leads them to a lair of orcs, and that leads them to something else, and then they realize the town is under attack. Like, just go to have fun with it. Yeah. Let them keep going. I don't put the pressure really high. I'll even have the NPCs say things like, I don't really want to make that, and they'll be like, but no, we really want it. And I'm like, oh, all right, well, what are you gonna get at me for it? And they'll be like, you want gold? He's like, nah, I got a rooms of gold, you know. And then you just keep setting them up where they're the ones pushing it forward.
Yep.
And then, as Ross said, they may do this for 6 sessions, 7 sessions. Have fun with it. You can actually, Sometimes I have more fun on those side quests, oh, right? Because I can play all these characters that just don't care, or, you know, yep. like, and then when they come back, have it slowly start to hit, right? They're, like, let's say they remember, someone's looking at their notes, they're like, oh, we had to go to the castle. And then you can have someone passing by go, did you say castle? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, guards, guards. And the players are like, what? What's going on? Because it turns out the castle was like attacked and leveled to the ground.
Destroyed. Because they didn't do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. And everyone in town is trying to figure out who did it. And these idiots just said the word castle. Where's the castle? Whatever. Just have fun with it. But I want to take you to the part of what if it breaks your world?
Right.
What if they want to do something that like get a giant demon horse across a bridge.
Who's done that?
Like, what if Russ, they want to keep this NPC
yes.
with them no matter what you do?
Even if it slows down the process or destroys the...
risks the world. Yep,
changes, alters the course of time. That's a tough one. Like, I mean, I let them. Right?
Me too.
Like, I let them.
Yep.
Yep. Because what it does for me is it makes me think about that clock ticking in the background. And if you really have a higher stakes game where their decision could literally change the course of their character's history, that's a big fiction plot point. Right? Like, that's something that is then told years and years later, that the adventurers A went and had to get a horse across a bridge. But while that was happening, the kingdom was being destroyed and the king was killed.
It may lead to the darkest timeline.
Yeah, don't go to the darkest timeline. It's a scary place. Come listen to it, but don't go to it.
Yeah, I mean, my table loves to try and break the game. Like, come up with things that will, like, a portal salesman who could just pop into existence at any time in a horrible accent and take them anywhere. So, like, now, like, if I'm in a situation where it's high pressure and there's all these forces, they could just get out of it.
Yep.
And so it would, like, break my game, what I plan. And so, like, Russ, I let him use it.
Yeah.
But they often don't go to where they thought they were going to go, but they just go. We go somewhere completely different and we're off. We don't have to worry about any of that anymore. But guess what? There will be consequences.
That battle didn't stop. And that little village that was just over the hill now has to deal with it.
Yeah.
So when they do make it back to that part of the world or, you know, start to hear messages coming back, then I don't want to say the guilt comes in. But player character guilt starts to come back and be like, well, we could have done something about that, but the portal salesman showed up with a shiny object and we ran away. Give value to all of your players' decisions
love that.
In your own, within the story.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Night has fallen. The moon is full, and we're inviting you to listen to Canada by Night, a podcast where professional improvisers play Vampire the Masquerade. Detective-turned-vampire Everett Fry accidentally becomes the sheriff of New Haven, an experimental town where they're testing if vampires and humans can coexist. Stuck leading a ragtag group of officers, the Bruja bounty hunter Val, the Gangrel news reporter Evangeline, and the Tremere blood witch Doris, can Everett keep the town running? Or will everyone end up liquidated by the Vampire Council of Canada? Trending on global fiction charts and produced by Dum Dums and Dice, whose podcast Dum Dums and Dragons ranked number 2 of all fiction podcasts in America, listen now to find out why Canada by Night has been downloaded more than 500,000 times. Canada by Night, its interview with the vampire, if it had all the characters from Parks and Rec in it.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
And it might not come right away. Like we often say, you don't need the answer right away. Let them make the decision. Let them take the portal and go somewhere else. And it's okay, great. Now you've got to just figure out the rest of that session that you're playing. But then you go back to your notes and you're like, okay, well, what did happen in that battle that they ran away from? What was over the hill? How does that affect the world that they're in? Because that'll escalate and maybe take you down a new path, take you down a new path that you can have them explore and have yourself explore and write.
I love the way you also put it, give value to what they choose, because it also can be positive too. Mm-hmm. So like regardless of whether it's good or bad in the world, which always think about consequence, like Russ is saying, but like portal salesman, I brought up as an example, I don't want to ruin, but you're going to die, Russ, when you hear the latest anyway. So yeah. The portal salesman is now coming back as like a major player, which I didn't even expect.
Right.
Like I didn't create this NPC, just, it was just there for fun. But one of the cool things is when you're playing with a table, if you do what Russ said and you give their choices weight, you honor their choices, they become storytellers with you. And they might make little fun jokes, but you will see moments where they want to impact the story, and often to their detriment, right? You will see your table go, no, we're turning away and walking away from this town. And you'll see them do things that are these amazing dramatic moments because they want to be part of the story, and they're feeling the characters and the pressures on the characters, right? Almost like an author says they can hear the characters talking, right? When they're writing, the players start to play in that world. And so the more you honor their decisions, they start, what feels like them breaking the world will sometimes give you some of the most fun you're going to have around the table. And your challenge is, how do I accept and honor that decision and then figure it out later? And sometimes they'll help you figure it out.
It's something that we've mentioned before, but just accepting the offers that are presented. Do you have to accept them all? No, you don't. Because if you start to accept them all, the world just gets to, it can be way too much. But as in real life, people walk away from things and people do things that are hard to explain in the moment, and giving them that value in the world and that onus on their characters and knowing their characters and what they would do, it makes, like Sean said, it makes them storytellers. It makes them part of the game that you're all playing at the table. Because as much as we, running the game, lay out the framework for what's happening, every decision that they make, good or bad, is affecting the world. And the more ones that you may not agree with in the game, those can create some fun moments down the road.
And you don't have to know the answer. You'll hear Russ and I say things like, okay, so what happens?
Yeah.
I'll often say, okay, where do we go next? Like they're turning and walking away from the burning town. It's being raided and whatever. I'll be like, okay, where does the story open up next?
Yep.
And someone will say, we're at the bar and we're all just staring down at our mugs and not talking to each other. Like they'll set up the consequence, you know, the inner turmoil in the group.
Yep. And then you can all collectively build off of that until you find the next moment. Yeah, it can be a really cool experience. If you haven't had it, it's a really cool experience to put that back on your players and say, okay, well, here's your decision. Where did you go? Because if you turned away, or you decided not to pick this up, or you decided you must have had something else in your mind that you wanted to go do, or a reason why. And then they will, more often than not, have something that they can give you.
Yep. Or one character might say, I go and I'm at a carnival having fun. And then you just do it. Go there. And you'll see the other characters, like, not talking and being saying things like, I don't think we should have done that. Like, it just becomes another moment of tension within the, like, decision that was made. Yeah, I love that. And we love talking about this. So honoring players' decisions is also recognizing that we don't have the answer. And part of the fun of being a GM or DM is in those moments, like, just going, okay, like, I like, what can I do with that? Like, what would this mean? Right? It's like, how, and that just takes relaxing. And it just takes confidence, and it just takes comfort with your table, where you can start to just go with it and be like, oh, that gave me an idea.
Yeah. Knowing that, when you don't have the answer because they turned away, they've got an answer, which will then help you come up with more answers about what they turned away from or what's coming up next for them. It's an extra level to playing and running games, that, like Sean said, it's just experience. It's just trusting. It's, you know, you play with a table for a long time, like Sean and I have. You trust that if you don't have an idea, I've sat down to sessions that were on the schedule that I needed to play, that I had one thing written down, but I've got to play for 2 hours now. I often will just say, I've got one thing planned. Let's see where this takes us, baby. Because they love to play.
I once sat down and I'd started passing a card around the table, and I'm like, it was okay. So we did do a religion episode, contrary to what we said earlier. I was just remembering, but it was basically Blatt, not to give too much away, but Blatt was now working for the dark powers, and Selene, the goddess of the moon, and his job was to convert all religions to Selene, like, basically. Yeah. And so we had set that up in the previous thing, but I had no idea what was going to happen next. So I was like, okay, everyone's just going to make up weird sounding religions or groups or names. And then we just passed this card around the table. And then we just went and played out Blatt showing up at the Church of the Meatball or whatever, and trying to convert that, you know what I mean? And it all went horribly, but like the witches of the peat moss bog or whatever. Yeah. And then we just played that, but I didn't design that game.
No.
Right. Like we did it together.
It was all player input before you sat down. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
And we were actually at the table. We're there. Yep. And I'm like, just passing the card around. Let's do it. That actually brings up a great idea about a different storytelling elements you can use, and how you can cut to fun things to do if you need a break in the story because it's getting too intense, or you just got nothing prepared. We'll do that next, maybe.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Awesome.
Locks and Beard, hopefully that answers some of your questions. If you have more questions, again, find us in the Discord. Link is in the description. Send us emails. We love to receive emails. It's like getting mail sent to you. I love it.
It is, except in Gmail.
Yeah, so many Gmail. That's terrible. DM to gmcast@gmail.com. It sounded better in my head before I said it. Facebook and Twitter are over there too. Get your game started.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Jesters of Ravenloft is a new podcast being recorded on Twitch. It's D&D 5e, and we'd love to tell you about it, but we can't. Because seriously, the cast know nothing about what is going to happen. Adam McNamara is mystified. Del Borovic is baffled. Guy Bradford is bewildered. Tyler Hewitt is even more clueless than usual. And me, Ryan LaPlante, the DM, I'm the only person who knows what's going on. We're live on Twitch May 31st at 8:30 p.m. EST. And every Friday, after our Wednesday night shows, we'll be dropping two episodes of Jesters of Ravenloft here. So get ready, subscribe, and soon you will be journeying into Ravenloft alongside our jesters. Oh yeah, don't tell them about the whole Ravenloft thing. They really know nothing.